Kamala.
Hello. Hi.
Hey there.
Aw, hi, you're both together. Oh, it's good to hear you both.
I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
Oh my goodness. Michelle, Barack, this means so much to me. I am looking forward to doing this with the two of you, Doug and I both, and getting out there, being on the road. But most of all, I just want to tell you the words you have spoken and the friendship that you have given over all these years mean more than I can express. So thank you both. It means so much. And we're going to have some fun with this too, aren't we?
Not a single damn person believes that this is... that this was a real thing.
Oh, that's so genuine.
And can I ask a question? I mean, I got a genuine question that needs to be asked here. Why in the hell are you holding the speakerphone up to your ear? What is up with that? Notice how, and if you can, Juan, go back when you get a moment. Go back to the, when she's holding the phone up to her head and you can see who's on the phone, because you can see that it's on speakerphone, and it's real. Like, who in the hell does that? Like, she's on, you can see it. She's on, it says speaker on the, it says speaker on the thing, doesn't it?
That's true.
It says speakerphone on that.
Yep.
And she's like, I can't have this phone call. Or no, that's Michelle Obama who's saying that. She's like, I can't have this phone call without, you know, making sure that we talk to our girl. How did she say her name? Kamala. She said Kamala. She didn't even say, Big Mike didn't even say her name right. It's Kamala. I was told that not saying her name right was like racist or sexist or turfed or something. I don't even know what it is anymore. There's so many names associated with it. But who in the hell holds the speakerphone up to their ear? That's like the whole reason why there's a speakerphone. You don't hold it up to your ear like that. That would be annoying. That is so fake. It's so damn fake. It's so fake.
So genuine. The look on her face. The
Michelle.
The interaction.
Just, it took him long enough to endorse her, didn't it?
It was moving.
Who holds the speakerphone up to their face,
really,
though?
Really touching exchange.
That's like a grandma move. Like, who does that? Who sits there and holds their speakerphone up to their face like that? Welcome to the show. I don't know, I guess, you know, it's Dana Lash here with you. Hold on. It's top of this first hour on a Friday. She's, you know, oh man. And then what did she went into a record store? First off, if you're watching me, then you're watching the simulcast. But I have to tell you how to watch the simulcast if you're watching it, and you can listen coast to coast. We got this, all right. It's Friday. We're all tired and of this nonsense. She also went to a record store. And she got, like, basically, she picked some focus group peer-reviewed music. Like, nobody believes that she went in there and she even knew who Poor Game Best was. Nobody believed that. Come on. You guys didn't believe it. You didn't believe it. But she finally got the endorsement of the Obamas, the coveted Obamas endorsement. And I don't know if that's going to be enough to help her, because she just doesn't look genuine. She's just not genuine looking. This whole thing is so... We're gonna talk about here coming up. Trump won't do debates with Kamala Harris, and the left is ticked off. Y'all don't get to be mad over that. And they're like, oh, he's afraid. Wait, what? We're gonna get into some of this. But first and foremost, the Obamas finally backed her. 60% of Americans, according to a new survey, believe that she covered up Joe's condition. And she's gonna have to defend against, she's gonna have to defend her super left-wing record. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. She's got a very, very left-wing record, and she's going to have to defend that. And I think that the GOP, I think they've started to define her as such. And it's very important that they need to keep doing that, because they have to define her, not allow her the opportunity to define herself. There's a couple, we have about 11,000 audio sound bites. I think Juan and Steve are going to kill us, Kane. I think we gotta look behind our back when we leave the studio today. We're gonna get murked. But this, I am There's like five sound bites that I want to play simultaneously. Yeah, because we got the KJP stuff, and then we have all of these surrogates who are going all in on Harris, and then there's a ton of these talking points coming out, and so this, on top of all of the talking points that came out with the DNC, is amazing. They've got their talking points out. Audio Sunbite 24. And it sounds like, I mean, they're reading all of this stuff word for word. Just play this. This is wild.
She was never actually border czar.
Border czar, which was not something that was formally conveyed upon her. She's been labeled incorrectly by some members of the right as the border czar.
Republicans named her the border czar.
Republicans have always exaggerated what her job was at the border.
Republicans, again, have labeled her the border czar.
But that's not exactly what President Biden asked her to do.
She was never put in charge of the border.
That wasn't actually her task.
Not to secure it, but to address the underlying roots of migration.
She was charged with leading the administration's efforts to address the root causes of migration.
The root causes of migration to the U.S.
The root causes.
Root causes.
Root causes.
The root causes.
Root causes.
Of immigration.
We also want to point out that right now, apprehension numbers continue to decrease in our country, especially over the last few months.
And I just want to note that border crossings have been going down.
And illegal border crossings are lower right now.
Migrant crossings.
See, now here's the migrant crossings going down. I mean, there's like the whole thing. I mean, it was on the website, the White House website. That's the weird thing about this. You can't really deny that it existed because there are all the receipts in the world out there. And again, just to remind, Axios started this. They're all in on this, and they're all in on it because this is the thing that absolutely hurts her the most, is really the immigration issue. And Axios literally said, I mean, not only did Axios say it, Joe Biden, we played that audio yesterday. He had said he called her the border czar. There was even a statement on the White House website calling her literally the border czar, saying that she was in charge of the border, dealing with border issues. It wasn't just looking at the root causes of migration, which is like stupid word salad nonsense. And it says White House border coordinator to step down. So that it was Roberta Jacobson's departure, so they could actually put Kamala Harris. They even said that the old quote-unquote border czar stepped down because, quote, her role as one of the administration's top border officials, talking about Kamala, had eclipsed her position. And USA Today had reported it. Axios had reported it. They literally tweeted, Harris will lead U.S. efforts to stem migration. Twitchy had a bunch of receipts on this as well. They said that she's, you know, CNN, Vice President Kamala Harris's tough task. She's leading border issues, addressing migration. It's not getting any easier this year. Politico. I mean, they literally said that she was they said she was a border czar. Joe Biden called her the border czar. I mean, they quoted Joe Biden because Joe Biden said border czar. So they quoted Joe Biden saying border czar. This goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I mean, it is amazing to me how all of these people have all reported this. And now they're trying to go back and say that she was never what Joe Biden said on camera that she was, or what was on the White House website of what she was. We've all seen this. This is the stupidest damn thing. We're not letting them get away with this. This is not going to happen. I mean, you guys think that, you know, yes, the left is, you know, absolutely relentless, but we are even more so. And I loathe the media. And this is one of the reasons why I loathe the media. I mean, she absolutely was. I mean, she was. This was what she was meant. This is what she was. She was put in this position. I mean, the White House at whitehouse.gov, they had it on their website. So this nonsense has got to stop.
And Congress got that.
We're going
to put in Slack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's on the congressional website. It was on the Senate website.
It's actually in House Resolution 253.
Let's read 253. Whereas on March 24th, 2021, Vice President Kamala Harris was named quote-unquote border czar in charge of leading efforts to stem migration across the United States-Mexico border.
Huh. What was in quotes again?
Border czar.
Interesting.
Absolutely, completely border czar. I mean, there is no arguing this. This is, I don't know why, you're not going to sit here and undo stuff that's been out there. I mean, she was, quote, Axios, the number of unaccompanied minors crossing the border has reached crisis levels. Harris, appointed by Biden as border czar, said she would be looking at the root causes that drive migration. This was literally in 2021 over at Axios. New York Times as well. They noted, and remember, she was the border administrator who stepped down. Quote, she was chosen as Mr. Biden's border czar, said she would retire from government. She was happy to see Ms. Harris assume the work of stemming migration from Central America. So they even called the previous border administrator the border czar. And they were fine with that. When Kamala was completely fine with that title when she thought it was helpful to her and when they could leverage it to make it look as though they were doing something about immigration. We've got more on this because now Trump has said he is not going to be debating at all whatsoever, not going to be debating Kamala Harris. And I quite frankly don't blame Republicans. They had agreed to Trump-Biden debates. And then when Harris is not even the official nominee. I mean, I need people to realize that those delegates that are promising to go for her, they're not binding. So she's not even the official nominee yet. She has to go through the convention process. And the idea that Trump should be expected to commit to a debate with someone who might not even be the damn presidential nominee for Democrats. Who knows what could happen at the DNC? It's going to kick off technically as an open convention. That's why they're working so hard to virtually nominate her before it starts, which is making a lot of their voters angry. But I mean, the idea that this is, you know, she is the official candidate. Well, that's a lie because she's not yet. So Trump, I mean, he put out a response to this, and we're going to get in all of this here coming up. He has a response to the general election debates, and he said, quote, through his comms director, given the continued political chaos surrounding crooked Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, general election debate details cannot be finalized until Democrats formally decide on their nominee. There's a strong sense by many in the Democrat Party, namely Barack Hussein Obama, that Kamala Harris is a Marxist fraud who cannot beat President Trump, and they are still holding out for someone better. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to schedule things with Harris because Democrats could very well still change their minds, end quote. That's actually completely, that's true. That's, I mean, it's true. All of that's true. We're going to talk more about this coming up because now the left is trying to get their narrative out about this. In addition, I've got some swing state polling for you. We're also going to get into some of the other polling that's out. The GOP, there's a new ad from the Trump campaign. We got a lot of stuff to hit, including some cultural things, the latest with Secret Service, all of that and more. Black Rifle Coffee. Look, if you're drinking other coffee, then you're drinking communist swill that probably sucks and it's making you miserable, making your day awful. You need to switch and be filled with joy and energy like I sound right now. Switch over to Black Rifle Coffee. It's the best coffee that's out there. And there are a lot of pretenders out there that say, we roast our coffee here too. No, you don't. You white label it. These people get their beans from God knows where and they just put a sticker on it. Like, we did it ourselves. No, you did not either. You don't even have the facilities to do it. Unlike Black Rifle Coffee, which is a veteran-owned company and they employ veterans and active duty. And they do a lot for first responders and veteran causes. There's Big Coffee hates them because they're mainstreaming American culture, even down to their bag art. Everything pays an homage to American culture and military history. They have the best roast profiles. They're explosive, ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, whatever you want. They got it. You can join the coffee club, choose your favorite roast, how often you want it sent to you, and it shows up magically on your doorstep with free shipping. Life doesn't get much better than that. So see for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is kind of sad. A wax replica of Sinead O'Connor was withdrawn by a Dublin museum because they said that it was absolutely hideous. And so they couldn't. When the wax work was revealed yesterday, the museum's team decided to withdraw it to create a more accurate representation. And apparently it's supposed to be really bad. I didn't like see, they don't show the photo. They said it looked nothing like her and it was hideous. And they were shocked. And it didn't look like her at all. So they were very upset about this. That's bad. That's real. I wonder if it was bad as that of that as that Ronaldo statue. Remember where he looked all kooky. Yeah. So apparently, Apple's iPhone has fallen out of China's top five as their domestic brands are soaring instead in popularity. I'm sure that it's by choice that they can purchase that. I'm totally sure. They said that China's smartphone market recorded 10% year-on-year growth in the second quarter with shipments exceeding 70 million units. And I'm sure it's because people are free to purchase whatever they want, not forced to by their communist government. Am I right? Flaming Hot Cheetos, the lawsuit's going to court. There's a lawsuit over Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Of course there is, because this is America. A former PepsiCo executive is suing the company, saying it destroyed his career because it questioned his claim that he invented the popular flavor of Cheetos. He said he was the one who invented Flamin' Hot. And they say, no, you're not. So now they're fighting over it. There's literally a lawsuit coming up about chicken wings that I'm going to get into. That's next hour. The Fifth Circuit ruled that the FCC's universal service fee is unconstitutional. The court says that it is a misbegotten tax that violates the Constitution. They need to say that about all of them, by the way. You know those astronauts? Remember the astronauts that were telling me that were stuck in space? Well, they've been there for 49 days, and there's no end in sight. They're going to be there for, like, weeks. They have no clue. Two astronauts stranded in space for 49 days so far, 41 days longer than their original planned mission because the Boeing-built ride home is full of leaks, and so it has to spend at least a few more weeks aboard the... They got to be on the ISS. For a few more weeks. Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams were meant to spend just 8 days, but they've been up there for forever. And they're going to probably be up there for like weeks to come. That's crazy. There's no wind in sight. That's a movie. CrowdStrike is offering a $10 apology gift card to say sorry for the outage. I'm really sure that that's going to help my friend who had to have their chemo treatments delayed because of all of the CrowdStrike nonsense. That $10 gift card is going to make them feel better about having their chemo delayed. Yay. Hear my excitement. We got a lot more in store. Stick with us because we got all the latest. The Dems are mad over Trump not wanting to debate.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
It's extraordinary. Tough talk is this guy's calling card. And now there's this extraordinary show of weakness. He agreed to, you know, he said anytime, any place. But more than that, he agreed to this specific debate on this specific network on this specific date. And now he's pulling out. And of course, it shows that he's afraid. It shows that he knows if the two of them are on a stage together, it's not going to end well for him.
Golly, nobody asked you, Bob the Builder. Nobody asked you. That Secretary Mayor Newmom, Admiral of the Canoe Fleet at Camp Wimpy Tonka, Pothole Pete, a.k.a. Poop Booty Juice. I say it like Biden says it. Don't get mad at me. That's the new talking point that the left has on Trump, is they're mad over the they're mad because Trump won't agree to the debate. Welcome back to the program, bottom of this first hour. They're mad because Trump won't agree to any debate with Harris. Why the hell should he agree to a debate with Harris? Let me tell you, this is what they've been saying. So you have Poop Booty Juice out there going, quote, has a presidential nominee ever agreed to a debate, then pulled out? Remarkable show of weakness here. Your nominee pulled out of the entire campaign, bud. Like, literally, like, left the whole damn campaign. What are you talking about, weakness? Good heavens. And then you have Kamala Harris, who is retweeting, CNN reporter says, Trump camp says he's not going to do the debates. Kamala Harris goes, what happened to any time, any place? what happened to you being the official nominee? You're not even the official nominee yet. What happened to the Biden-Trump debates? I mean, you're not going to, this is what the left wants. They want to be able to swap out their nominee 11 million times, change whatever they want to on their ticket, and then also simultaneously demand that you can't not then continue to agree to the debate, even though they've changed all the variables on their end. That's not how this works. I mean, a friend of mine said they're acting like this is a coronation, and they are. She needs to be the nominee. This chick has not won a damn race since she was the senator out of California. Kamala Harris has not won a race since she was the senator out of California. So you need to actually win something on your own merit first and not riding on a man's coattails. You know, you need to actually win an election, win votes, because this isn't the way to do it. So no, I mean, you don't get to change all of this and then make demands after. That's not how any of this is going to work, and nobody's going to be playing that game. My favorite thing is to watch the left screech their heads off about saving democracy. We're going to save democracy. And then they totally disenfranchise their own voters and they pull their own primary pick. I mean, the irony of this, I could sit here and watch this all damn day. It brings me such joy that if I woke up and I was feeling chilly this morning, you know, like you wake up, you're always a little chilly, hadn't had no coffee yet. Wick was a little misbehaved last night. And, you know, wake up this morning, it's a little chilly. And then I thought about, you know, wow, you know, remember the left was, you know, screeching about saving democracy while they totally deuce all over it on their own side. And it just gave me such a warm, fuzzy feeling. And it brought such joy to my heart and sunshine in my life that I almost didn't need to go get coffee to continue powering my day. It was just, you know, it was like rocket fuel. It was amazing. Really was. You know what I'm saying, Kane? Yeah. Just some amazing stuff. But yeah, they're very upset because they thought, well, we can just change out all this stuff and we can have a debate. What is she going to do during a debate? All she'll do is go, and what? She's just awkward, like bad. She's worse than Dukakis. I can't even believe I'm saying that. Dukakis, like historically, I was a little kid when that happened, but I remember it was such a big deal that it pierced my bubble of cartoons and, you know, high C juice packs and all that stuff, right? And I was suddenly aware that this guy was like a loon and that he looked utterly fake. So I don't know. I mean, their nominee has not won a primary election. And she was pretty much coronated in California as senator after she was AG. So she hasn't won anything. You have not put in the look, James Brown said it best. Got to pay the cost to be the boss. You haven't paid no cost, girl. You have not paid a damn thing. You have not won any votes. You have not won nothing. So you don't get to, Democrats don't get to do this and then go, oh, well, I can't believe he's afraid. Your guy pulled out of the whole race and probably wears a diaper. I don't know. Drools all, doesn't even know who's alive in the room and who isn't. So I don't want to hear from you people. I mean, that's just this. I can't even believe we're doing this. Can you believe it's this bad? Oh my gosh, it's just so crazy. And they're livid over this. They're absolutely livid over it. And I'm here for this. So, no, she needs to win first. She needs to win the nomination, become the official nominee, and then she can negotiate with Democrats how they want to do debates. Because anything can happen at this point, and these votes are not binding. I think a lot of the people who are sitting here screeching about, I can't believe Trump is in the door. These absolute loons. A couple other things to touch on, too. Because it does bring, you know, sunshine in my life, and I am very happy about it. But I do get the media is just absolutely insane. And I saw this one story. Trump falsely, this is CBS. It says, quote, despite Trump claim and a tweet showing support, Harris never donated to the Minnesota Freedom Fund. I'm sorry, what? So they're trying to move the goalposts. She was publicizing it and she was trying to raise money to it. Yeah. Can we, and Juan's got the tweet because the receipts don't lie. She promoted the Minnesota Freedom Fund, bailed out felons, like people who committed felonies, burned down buildings. There were convicted rapists, a repeat offender who was set free. Oh, by the way, and that guy went on to murder a man on a train platform in St. Paul, Minnesota. He shot him 6 times in cold blood. Pretty unbelievable. So yeah, it's true. And they're trying so hard to absolve her of this. Miss Defund the Police. I told you the media was going to go all in. I told you these absolute rat bastards were going to go all in like this. And they are. This is just getting started. We're not even at the peak of it yet. And her bump isn't that great. So that means they're going to have to require more from the media. This is just amping up because her bump, she's already hit peak with her bump. I mean, there people, I think, were maybe a little bit relieved. And then they realized, wait a minute, she's really bad. And so now they're not too excited about her. But they all got their talking points. And they all have their big thing. Their big talking points right now is that she was never in charge of immigration policy. They're all saying the same thing. She was never the border czar. And now they're mad because Trump doesn't accept the changed variables in the debate. Democrats changed it up and didn't seek consent first. And then yet they still expect, I mean, he agreed to a Biden debate. So if Democrats want to continue having the, they can get Biden back up, then they can put Biden up for the debate because that's what he agreed to. She needs to become their nominee first. And see, what I think that what his refusal to accept these their debate terms, I think what it's doing is it's forcing them to admit that, okay, she's totally not a lock, even though you have the Obamas reluctantly endorsing her in a weird way that I don't really think they were on the phone because it looked real weird. And whenever someone's very obviously showing their phone like that in an ad, it makes me think that it's totally not real. Didn't look real. And she was holding up a speakerphone to her head. It was just real weird. I'm going to put it on speaker, proceeds to put the phone up to her head. Like, what in the world? Someone explain this tech to her. But she's not, anybody can come in at this point and still may. I mean, it technically, like I said, it's going towards an open convention. So, you know, you got to win a race. You got to be the nominee first before you're going to take this over. This is bottom line. But this is just so, it's just so goofy. Now, she also is being made to own her record on a number of other issues. And I think that that's what Republicans need to push more and more. We've talked about before how elections are determined in the margins. And Daily Caller has the piece, a new survey. You're going to start getting a lot of these now. And I haven't broken this down, but it is a new poll that was released. And it gets into the independents. And how really you're looking at a number of independents, etc. This is a Rasmussen poll looking at independents only. Trump 53 to Harris's 33. They're giving him a plus 20 with independents. And they said that Rasmussen said it wasn't a surprise to them. Now, I haven't broken this down to see where these people lean either way, but that's interesting. But when you look at the state by state, as I've done, it's still incredibly close. You've got, I think, one of the closest. You got Wisconsin. They're tied at 47. In Michigan, Trump's only plus one. None of this is within the is beyond margin of error. Georgia, he's only at plus two. Arizona, he's at plus five. So that's pretty significant. And Arizona is going to be one of the states to watch because it's going to be a very very interesting Senate race out there. So I think, I don't know if I necessarily think that her she's going to get anything else out of her bump. And I think you're still just now starting to see more as it pertains to Trump post-assassination attempt. But in the meantime, everybody's got their talking points. Audio soundbite 2, Peter Ducey tells KJP that all of the Democrats on Capitol Hill have been handed a card. And they have been leaked out to the press with all these talking points that you're hearing and all these videos that we've been playing for you. Listen to this.
Thank you, Corrine. Democrats on Capitol Hill are being handed this card with talking points about the vice president and the border. Do you know who's handing this out?
I have no idea. You probably should ask her campaign.
So,
I don't know. You should probably ask the campaign. I mean, you've got, you know about it. You're the White House spokesperson. You should know about it. If they're up there handing out talking points. I mean, you should know a little bit about it. Just saying. Now, in the meantime, because we've got all of this, we also have We're going to get into some of the Secret Service stuff. When do the Olympics kick off? I really don't care. Is it tomorrow?
I
don't know. I guess it did the torch thing.
I think so.
The more politicized it got, the less interested I became. So they've got all their celebrities there, and they had trains to and from Paris were disrupted by people, I guess, protesting. They said it was sabotage. Fires were set off at several rail lines. They said people were fleeing from the sites. Excuse me. The train operators said that this situation is going to last all through the weekend. They were even saying that some of the athletes couldn't even get there. That's unfortunate. But it's in Paris. What do you expect? France has just allowed itself to get run over roughshod. Yeah, Kane has the schedule. Are you watching any of it? Because I'm sure as hell not watching any of it.
I'm seeing like some highlight stuff, you know, just like you would any political thing that's something you don't want to watch. You'll see the highlights like on Twitter and things of that nature, on X. So that's what I'm looking for. I literally am not making any effort to watch it.
Yeah, me either. They said the French capital gearing up for these celebrations. Travel chaos has been crazy. And they said that France was very embarrassed by the opening day shambles. And there are flood warnings, a weather disaster. Lady Gaga is apparently performing tonight. The arson, travel chaos. The locals say they're embarrassed by it. And they said that there were fires at key facilities. Trains were just halted. Almost a million people were affected, including athletes and spectators heading to the game. And now they have weather issues, too. So, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's bread and circuses. That's why I don't get into the Olympics anymore. It's bread and circuses is all it is. It's all it is. That's why I don't get into a lot of sports, honestly. I'm going to be real. I'm not trying to be ignorant, but I do feel like it's bread and circuses, which... This was, if you guys remember, that was a phrase this Roman poet back in the days of yore came up with that to talk about how Rome was distracting its populace and diverting the Romans' attention away from their rotting empire with, you know, gladiators and duels and all this other stuff. And, you know, the races over at Circus Maximus and all of that. So they no longer cared about being politically or civically involved and their birthright of that. And so they got spread in circuses. It's just a distraction. And I feel like that's what this is. I really don't even care. You know why? Because the goodwill's fake. Maybe at one point there was goodwill, but I don't really believe that there is anymore. I really don't. I think it's just all just, even if there is, it's just the perception of it. And it's just done so as a strategy, not as anything that's, you know, genuine. And it just seems stupid, right? I really don't. I don't care. Oh my gosh, who's gonna win with this particular sport? I don't care. I don't really, really don't care. Really don't care. It's all stupid. It's all political. All of it. I mean, even the down to who's participating is political. So I don't know. And all the celebrities are there. So you're just gonna be. It's all gonna be in your face the whole time. Roar. Is that mean? Am I being harsh?
You might have a little bit of the Friday blues.
No, I just don't. I've never cared about any of this. I haven't cared about the Olympics since I was in school.
No, I get it. And there's only like a certain amount of Olympic competitions that I even care to watch anyway.
Yeah, you shared the schedule. Wait, let me peek it.
Yeah, so like today they have shooting. So the 10-meter air rifle and the 10-meter
air. That's about the only thing. You know, but you know what, though? They're not going to at all show any of that. Anything with pistols, that's not going to.
Even air pistols?
Nah, they're not going to show any of that.
Really?
Yeah, they won't show any USA shooting, nothing like that. Do you ever ask yourself how you can work this hard and still be in debt? I mean, the piles of overdue bills, the threatening phone calls, the constant stress of wondering how you're going to make ends meet each month, it just won't stop. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. They've developed aggressive new strategies to end your debt permanently. Zero Debt USA stands between you and the bill collectors. They negotiate with creditors to lower or even forgive what you owe, and they do it all without bankruptcy or new loans. The bottom line is Zero Debt USA has powerful strategies that zap your debt quickly, so you have more money in your pocket every month. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive, and you don't want to miss out. Visit zapmydebt.com and talk with one of their debt relief strategists for free and find out how fast they can get you out of debt. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. Visit zapmydebt.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I would like him to say that to her face, right? But he won't because he's a little punk, right? And that's what you have to always remember about Donald Trump. He's a scared little punk. Because the thing you would do if you were a big, strong man who likes to beat on people, right, is that you say, you debate whoever the Democrats put up. They want to put up Harris, we'll debate Harris. They want to put up Biden, you'll debate Biden. They want to put up, you know, the dog from Chuck E. Cheese, you debate the dog from Chuck E. Cheese, right?
So that's, who's that L.A. Mistall dude? He also, this guy's like, never, he's always that kind of out of control, I think. Welcome back to the program. They're mad because Trump isn't doing the debate. He won't do the debate with Kamala Harris because Democrats changed out their candidate. He's also the guy that's gone out there with all kinds of like conspiracy theories, and I'm not going to get into it, but I don't have enough interest to give him any more breath, quite frankly. So coming up, polling, the GOP November head-to-head matchup. We're going to look at some of all of that, actually. And the latest, Democrats, Harris, all of it. God help us. All-American company. They make really good products. And if you haven't checked out Kel-Tec, you should definitely do so and sign up for their newsletter as well. And Kel-Tec, Florida-born, Florida, everything Florida-made. And right here in the U.S. of A., the family-owned company. They have been behind all of these innovative pistols and rifles and shotguns and accessories and gear, all kinds of stuff. They are sub 2K Gen 3, 9mm carbine, light, foldable, and effective. Features upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, all providing improved manipulation. So see everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself. And that, what I was talking about, was the sub 2K Gen 3. At KeltecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
President Biden always said that he wants you to be the last person in the room, particularly for big decisions, just as he was for President Obama. He just made a really big decision, Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do.
Huh. That's interesting flashback audio. So she owns that then?
Yep.
Oh, good. So she owns the whole situation with the absolute hideous, heinous Afghanistan withdrawal. Okay. All right. We got it. So she owns it. Okay. There you go. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. So she owns it. All right. That's another thing to tack onto her record. She so badly wants to look like she, look, I did stuff too. Look at me. I was there. Except for like the border, when they made me border czar. Except for that. No, she was there. That's totally true. And she was, and she was part, absolutely part of it. So now I guess, you know, she can have this tacked on as well. So she knew, and she was totally fine with the way that everything was done over there in Kabul. Unbelievable. That should be an ad. The Republican Party should make an ad out of that and just hammer the hell out of her insane record. Because it is insane. I mean, she's so far left that I think you don't even really have to mention it. But I'm not saying don't mention anything else because, you know, she was proudly celebrated by the president as a DEI hire who said that he was adhering to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And he promised his base that he would only consider a female of color for his VP role. Remember this. This was back in 2020. That's what he promised. And so he used it as like a substitute for any kind of merit that it was by itself, merit on its own face. And so why is that a bad thing now to point out that he and other Democrats advertised her as such? So no, we're not. The reason that they're trying to shame you away from those talking points is because it compromises them, because they were all over discussing it. They were all over celebrating it. Now, suddenly, I don't know. Now it's different. So this, I'm telling you, as we barrel towards whatever November's going to bring, a few things. Swing state polls are narrowing. And you have to realize, too, the Senate hangs in the balance. That's one thing that could be captured by Republicans. Public policy polling and Rasmussen did some of the last two surveys, and the closest races are in Pennsylvania and Arizona. And in Arizona, let's see, because it according to polling, in Arizona, I mean, it's so close. And so much of this is mainly, it still is in within the margin of error. But this is 49 to 44. This is one of the latest. It's from the Hill Emerson, one of their battleground polls. And Pennsylvania has Trump 48, Harris 46. So that one's still technically within the margin of error. But he's pulling ahead in Arizona. Very important Arizona because, you know, you have Kristen Sinema, who is leaving the Senate. And so it's the races between this Democrat, obviously Democrat and Republican, but you've got also the 3rd Congressional District. Carrie Lake is going for that. Both polls, there were two polls that showed Lake coming in behind the Democrat. And so you have Kristen Sinema's Senate seat. We'll see what happens with that. In Pennsylvania, you have McCormick versus Casey, and Casey was up +3. Apparently, McCormick's primary challenger fared better against Casey in the primary polls than McCormick did. But apparently, I think the machine wanted McCormick, so I don't know. That's what it, and I think even former POTUS endorsed him. So I don't know what's, because Bob Casey, gosh, it's Bob Casey, he's so bad. But he's got RCP average has him up by almost 6 points. Casey up by almost 6 points. That may not be winnable. We're still a little far out, but still, there's a lot of this depends on some of the momentum that the two candidates at the top of the ticket get. And one of them hasn't won any primaries to really call herself the presumptive nominee at this point, I don't think. You have Michigan. Debbie Stabenow is leaving her seat. She was there for 24 years. And there's a Democrat that's pushing up against Republican Mike Rogers. And the Democrat was up by 3, 10 points in the public policy polling, was +10. So my point is that there are a number of these seats everywhere from Nevada, Arizona, etc., where they're really, really close. And it still means that Republicans could capture majority in the Senate, but a lot of this can be just completely destroyed by whatever happens at the top of the ticket. For Democrats, too. And that's why another reason why they're so worried behind it, worried about it. I mean, there was a headline. This is how desperate the left is to try to solidify this because they're looking at these down ticket races like many in these swing districts. There was an editorial at Newsweek that said it's time for black men to get in line behind Harris. There was an actual headline at Newsweek. Like, you don't, if you're black, you don't have the freedom to vote how you want to. You have to vote for the Democrat candidate. Otherwise, you're not authentically black. That's what the left has promoted for forever. They've promoted that nonstop. And now they're trying to call in some of their return on their investment for it. I don't know. But you have James Carville, who's out there warning people, telling them that don't be too giddy with your elation. He's saying, look, that's not going to help. He goes, that's not what... He said that that's not what we're going to be facing as we roll towards fall. He actually is correct on this. But I don't know if Democrats are going to listen to it. I mean, if we got this, play some of that. Why is, by the way, when Carville does his interviews, notice how he doesn't GAF at all anymore. He's like, no, I'm going to wear a sweatshirt. I'm not even going to sit up straight for the shot. I'm looking at the shot right now, and he's like leaning sideways in a chair. And I can only imagine that the producers are mad because they want you to square up and you got to have a good shot, etc. But Carville's warning them, don't get too excited about all this. And he's not wrong. Again, you're talking about the Democrat leader. I'm not saying nominee yet because she's not, who didn't even barely scored 1% in the last primary, came in behind Buttigieg. So, I mean, you can't be too excited about that yet. This is Carville warning his party, but I don't know if they're going to listen.
Yes, but I got to be the curmudgeon. I have to be the skunk at the garden party. This is too triumphalist, okay? This is everybody's giddy. I look at the coverage, and it's great, and we just... If I had to write a play about what I think it's going to be like, it would be entitled The Ice Pick Cometh, okay? Get ready. They're coming, all right? And it's good. Everybody should feel good and liberated and everything else. But if we don't win the election, we haven't done anything. We haven't changed the temperature in America. We haven't changed anything. And I think the vice president, I hope that, you know, her campaign is getting ready. I hope they listen to my friend and fellow New Orleanian, Don Brazil, who actually, I think, has the same kind of view of politics that I do. And they're coming at us, and they're going to keep coming. And this kind of giddy elation is not going to be very helpful much longer, because that's not what we're going to be faced with.
And I think he's right about this. And I think that the Trump ad that came out, the first attack ad that the campaign had that came out showing Kamala as this like super out of touch San Francisco progressive. I mean, that's the Bush v. Dukakis strategy, because Dukakis was painted as this, you know, super far left Massachusetts progressive, although they said liberal back then because it was before progressive was being widely used. But this is, it's going to be interesting in that Democrats tend to get over their skis and they tend to get super excited and allow that to kind of overshadow everything else and forget what their strategy is. They do get distracted. Whereas it's like the right takes a long time getting to the point of doing what the left does in terms of promoting and protecting the candidate. But I don't it's not going to be difficult to paint Harris as a super far left progressive. My gosh, we were talking about some of her record yesterday. I mean, all you have to do is keep talking about the border, which you can tell that they're terrified of that, because that's why they're working overtime to try to scratch it off of the internet. Just wild. But that's what they're doing. That's what it looks like. I mean, she hasn't lost all the support, I think, in the manner, the same way that Dukakis had at this point, really. But I don't know, in looking at a lot of the polling, Trump is pulling away in a couple of these states, but it's not a done deal yet. Remember, you still have October surprises and all that kind of stuff. And that's to say that she's even the nominee. I mean, my gosh, this is like, what, mid to late August that they have their convention? Anything could happen at this point. If they so quickly coalesce behind her, who's to say that they couldn't so quickly coalesce behind somebody else? The exact same speed and fervor. Especially when you have the House and Senate at stake. I mean, this isn't just the White House. I mean, you could, you know, you have a number of swing states, and it's close enough. It's weird that it's even that close. And that's one of the things I want Republicans to remember as well. This was a very different ground before the assassination a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know, it's narrowing, but we're not out of the woods. In fact, we're not going to be out of the woods until all the votes are counted and, you know, it's announced at this point. So you got to be careful with this. Like in Georgia, he's 48 to Harris's 46. One of the reasons I was pulling for Kemp as he was my first choice for a VP, and then Youngkin. And then out of the ones that were announced, it would have been Vance followed by Rubio. Well, not even Rubio. I didn't want Rubio at all because I saw him crumple on stage after Parkland. But one of the reasons I, you know, was looking at a governor like Kemp is because Kemp, he could bring in Georgia. I think that might have been a lot closer because these are new surveys. It's a newer survey. So this, I think Republicans need to be realistic about how close this is going to be. This is not going to be a runaway race. It really is. I would be shocked if it is. And what makes this campaign also a little different is that normally, and I think I've said this before, you know, you guys got to look at this like this is a marathon and we're going to get, you know, we've got a lot to do before we get to the end of it. No, not the way it is right now. I mean, at least for Democrats, this is a sprint for Democrats. You have, what, a little over 100 days till Election Day, Kane?
Yeah, I think it's about 100.
Yeah, and early voting starts in just a little over a month, which is wild to me. She is probably not going to be super accessible aside from well-scripted events, appearances, even probably at the convention. So she's got to be super disciplined. They have to be super focused with name recognition, which is what the Obamas and others are going to be helping with. She's got a lot to do, and she'll probably, if she becomes the nominee, she will get a bounce from the convention. And it'll probably be bigger than whatever little bump she got after being switched out with Biden. So keep this in mind. And a lot of the problems that Democrats had, what they're going to try to do going into this is make it look like, well, they're going to simultaneously laud Biden as a self-sacrificial character in the vein of Washington, and then also try to present all of the issues with their party as being Biden-centric problems, so that way they can say, well, look, we fixed it because it's not Biden anymore. Watch them do that.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the cost of living crisis has hit sales of food, cars, luxury goods. Obviously, anyone who's ever purchased anything in the past couple of years knows this. They say that the global consumer backtrack from post-pandemic revenge spending is starting to hit companies pretty hard. They said everything from food producers to airlines, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, and it's also because of a hideous economic policy coming out of this administration. That's probably also something to do with it, you know. They said that everybody's tapped out. And, I mean, they're tapped out after punishing inflation. And it's just a ripple effect. So, yeah, because everyone's broke. This isn't hard. Like, how is this a news headline? Everybody's broke is all get out. It's not hard. America's smallest apartments are getting even smaller. I don't think you should live in an apartment or condo unless you absolutely have to. Or if you want to, that's you. But I can't stand people, like living by people. I don't want to live by nobody. I want to share my wall with nobody. When you grew up, we lived kind of in a rural area. So we didn't have to worry about any of that. So I can't even imagine living on top of people like that. But they're saying that studio units are losing space. They have 10% space than they had a decade ago. And apparently this is, you know, this is all going to, economic policy is going to be reflected in everything. Gavin Newsom has ordered California officials to clear homeless encampments because he's tired, I guess, of getting made fun of about not being able to do anything about the needles and feces everywhere. So he's ordered them to clear out these encampments and to begin sweeping them out off of public property using newfound authority after the U.S. Supreme Court's okay last month. They're removing anything that poses a risk to life, health, and safety, which couldn't that be all of it? At this point, tens of thousands of people living in tents across the state of California, and they said 180,000 people are homeless basically any given night. 123,000 are unsheltered and sleeping in tents, vehicles, etc. So they're spending $24 billion in taxpayer money to try to figure out why people are homeless. Really? I can't deal with these people. I can't. Let's see here. This, yeah, and why didn't he do it before? That's also a good question. Is the musical mind immune to cognitive decline? The short answer is yes, according to a study. Whether or not participants were in their 20s or 80s, they were equally adept at picking up musical themes they were asked to identify. And this held true to across all pieces of music, regardless of how familiar or unfamiliar the style was. So that's interesting. So it showcases the power of music to connect and keep your brain healthy. So that's I'm not totally surprised by that. We got a lot more to get into, including that's all these media losers do. That's literally how I have it written down on my rundown. Stick with us. Our partners who help bring you free radio is Gold Co. Gold Co. is really a trustworthy company that you should definitely check out because the economy is just garbage right now. And with Gold Co., You're going to diversify and protect your savings with a company that's top rated with thousands of five-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. It's a company that you can trust, and you can join the thousands of people like me who've called it the have diversified what we've got with their time-tested safe haven assets. And the thing is, you know, it's hard to know what the future holds for our country. And so GoldCo wants to make it easy for you now to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. This is a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy, because everything that you've worked to accrue your life, you want to make sure that it's protected. And so this is where GoldCo comes in. They have a one-of-a-kind education-first position. They give you a gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains how all of it works. No pressure. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how to get started today. You'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit to arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. Equitable distribution.
Giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place, right?
We are proud of the fact that equity is one of our guiding principles.
This is communist.
Proud of the fact that we understand equality is important, but not everybody starts out on the same base. We see that people in our country are having an experience that is not equal.
I mean, that's literally from the Communist Manifesto. I mean, what she's talking about is the absolute opposite of what the Republic was intended to, what it was founded to do. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The bottom of the second hour. I mean, that is as communist as it gets. And she gets into, this is what I talk about, and I've been writing about this for over a decade, critical race theory. I've been writing pieces about this forever, and it got... really, the whole movement of critical race theory, which is part of Marxism, and it's part of Karl Marx's theory, really kicked off across college campuses back in the 60s. And so the idea of dividing people based on just different factors, like previously it was always through economic status, and Marxists would try to divide people based upon, you know, if they were born into money, if they made money, if they didn't have money, etc. And as more and more people realized the freedom through capitalism and what that affords, it became a lot harder for Marxists to try to use that as a tool of division. And it became a lot harder to mischaracterize capitalism when people could see it, you know, working, you know, in front of them. And so they also like to create little phrases like end stage capitalism to describe what happens when government gets involved. So it's not actually capitalism. But that's, you know, that's Marxist being dumb. But this new, again, as it this new theory making its way through college campuses throughout the 60s, critical race theory, of which DEI comes from. DEI is CRT in practice, critical race theory in practice. So critical race theory is all about that, the equity versus equality. And with equality, there is no discrimination. With equality, everyone has the same opportunities, and you're not punishing people for someone else's position being different from yours. You're not punished over things that you cannot control. And with equity, that's exactly, in order to have equity, you have to have widespread discrimination. You cannot have equity without discrimination. And she even mentions it without saying it in the beginning, that people didn't start out in the same positions. Therefore, you have to do something about it. And that's where she believes that that's where the equalness comes in.
by invoking discrimination and discriminating against people who, through no fault of their own or choice of their own, are in different circumstances than maybe other individuals. And that's equity. It's creating an uneven playing field and making it to where you have to discriminate against some and hold them back as a way to help someone else. So it's not equality. There's no equal opportunity. The opportunity is unequal by design in equity. And they want to guarantee outcomes, guarantee that everyone has the same outcome regardless of the choices that people make. So if you make bad choices in life, you have no accountability for those, because that would be unequitable. Or if your parents made bad choices in life, it would be unequitable to not harm someone else because their parents didn't, or because they come from an entire, it's just so stupid. You're using discriminatory practices against people for things that they can't control. And that's the Marxist division that's supplanting a lot of this class warfare as it relates to the economy. And I think that equity is for the weak. Equity is a Marxist theory for the weak. People who can't do for themselves demand that others do for them on the backs of yet still others. But this is one thing, especially when it comes to, how do they describe forgiveness, college loan forgiveness, and all of these other freebies. Republicans are going to have to really hone their messaging, because you know that they have a superior product, particularly with the economy and taxation. They have a superior product. They want to save people money, and they want to make sure parents are empowered to make decisions about their own children's lives and not strangers. It's about as social as it gets. Democrats are promising people free things. So this is where it gets, they really have to press the pedal to the floor here and figure out their messaging on this. Because when you have one party that's promising free everything, that sounds really good to people right now who are struggling with their grocery bills, who are struggling with their car payments, struggling with their mortgage payments, struggling with their utilities, people who want immediate relief. Democrats are promising immediate relief, but it's at the sake of overall health, economically, trade-wise, everything. And that's the thing. Even if Democrats try to fulfill, which they never do, fulfill any of the promises that they've made, they're out there playing Santa, and it's really hard to run against Santa. No matter how, they're looking at providing immediate relief and to hell with any long-term anything. Immediate relief for the sake of votes. They don't care how much it costs the taxpayer. They don't care what it's going to put the economy in. They don't care about any of that. The GOP has to outline how their policies help people for longer periods and can actually help quicken it. It's very hard to tell people, well, just suffer now and it's going to get better. That cannot be Republicans' messaging. That's what Democrats are framing it as. And she's going out there making speech after speech, promising all kinds of freebies. All kinds of freebies. She's talked about, debt for quote-unquote forgiveness. She also, by the way, she praised defund the police. This is audio soundbite 20. Listen to this. This was a June 2020 radio interview. She really was on board with defund the police. Listen.
Where do you stand on defund the police?
Right. So here's the thing. Defund the police. The issue behind it is that we need to reimagine how we are creating safety. And when you have many cities that have one third of their entire city budget focused on policing, we know that is not the smart way and the best way or the right way to achieve safety. If for too long, the status quo thinking has been you get more safety by putting more cops on the street. Well, that's wrong.
Why can't you use the word training? Why is that so unbelievably hard for you to say? Oh, maybe it's because you have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. It's just wild. It's wild. No, she promises all kinds of stuff. And whether it's horrible taxation, whether it's horrible with trade, then when it gets into culture, it gets even crazier. And she, you know, she was saying one thing and doing another with regards to Israel. She would not meet, she would not preside over the Senate yesterday as vice president, as president of the Senate. So she's trying to have it both ways. She doesn't want to make Dearborn stand mad. She's trying to have it both ways. This is audio soundbite 6. And this is what she had to say about Netanyahu. Listen.
So I just had a frank and constructive meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I told him that I will always ensure that Israel is able to defend itself, including from Iran and Iran-backed militias such as Hamas and Hezbollah.
Interesting that she was making this these remarks and not Joe, right? So he's in he's going to Camp David. He's going to be at Camp David now. So after he was in Delaware, flew to the White House for a day, and now he's flying to Camp David. I don't know how long he's going to be there. In the meantime, she's out there campaigning and playing president. Yeah. She also had this to say, audio soundbite 7. Check this out.
What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. The images of dead children and desperate, hungry people fleeing for safety, sometimes displaced for the second, third, or fourth time.
Now, why does Hamas do that to them?
We cannot look away in the face of these tragedies. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent.
But why was she silent when Hamas attacked Israel, and then Hamas used its own people as shields, and Hamas blew up one of their own hospitals, and Hamas was using the rooftop of an elementary school to launch attacks, and Hamas was building terror tunnels underneath that hospital? Why was she silent all those times? Oh, that's right, because she didn't like Jewish people. I mean, I have no idea how else to interpret that. Why was she silent for all of that? Just saying. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. But she's out there playing president right now. Out there playing president. Just doing all she can. People who help bring you free radio, so you don't have to pay for you don't have to pay a fee, and we're grateful for that. Our folks over at ReadyWise, good friends of this program. And when I was telling you, one of my friends, I know a ton of people got caught up in all the Hurricane Beryl stuff in Houston, and one of my friends actually was eating their ReadyWise food because they couldn't get out, they had no power, grocery stores were stripped, and they weren't even open. And you know, ReadyWise, my friend was like, we got it just in time. And they bought it because I had suggested, and they had to ask for the code. And it was good food. They said their kids liked it. They have a family of 5. So they said their kids liked it. And their youngest kid is 8. So with ReadyWise, this is USA food. This is high quality US ingredients, it packed and sent out from a US plant. So you know the entire chain of custody with this food. And it's emergency food that you can trust to sustain your family if there's a natural disaster or, heaven forbid, something else. They have a 72-hour food kit right now, a deal on it. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. It's half off. 2 boxes, 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. And you can use Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of any regularly priced item as well. So visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. Get 20% off any regularly priced item and check out their 72-hour food kit while you're there. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man said he did not know why he stole from Walmart. Deputies say, quote, that was stupid of me. A Florida man found himself behind bars after he stole several items from a Walmart and hid them in a trash can. He told deputies that he didn't know why he did it. Eric Slaughter, 38, he was arrested after the incident, charged with felony larceny and retail theft. And it was a Walmart, and deputies responded to said Walmart. They met with a loss prevention officer. They said Slaughter bought a plastic trash can, but had another trash can that had items inside of it that he didn't pay for. And he was trying to hide it in the trash can. They found a solar light, a $30 solar light, shoes, and they were $25, and they had a Switch tag for a 74-cent fishing dauber, and over $80 worth of items. And so he said he apologized for it, and he goes, well, that was stupid of me. is what he said. When they asked why he did it, he said he didn't know. And then he goes, well, he didn't have enough money to buy them. Honestly, some of this sounds like Biden inflation.
Exactly.
Just saying. It really does. I've got a story about the villages.
The villages.
This guy's mustache, he looks like a vaudeville villain. And it once again involves a golf cart. I don't know. I mean, I guess they drive around golf carts a lot in the villages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because they have the golf cart chop
shop.
It's
like second cars, yeah. Like if you had a second car.
So this 40-year-old who was driving a red Yamaha golf cart about 10:30 at night on Wednesday, and he cut into the lane of a deputy who was following behind him. The deputy initiated a traffic stop. The guy, his name is Christopher Van Wettering, had been drinking. And when he was asked, okay, how much have you consumed? He said, quote, quite a bit. And he said he had 4 to 5 drinks. Oh, and that doesn't include the 2 beers and 3 shots.
Oh.
When he was asked to rate himself on a 0 to 10 scale, with 0 being sober and 10 being heavily intoxicated, Van Wettering gave himself a 4. He performed poorly in field sobriety exercises. His breath sample was 0.178 blood alcohol content. Is that a 4, Kane?
Yeah, I'd say that it was double the legal limit. It's probably higher than a 4.
Yeah. And then there was a cooler in his golf cart, and it contained a partially empty bottle of Espolon Tequila Blanco and 2 small, empty, totally empty bottles of Absolut Vodka. So he got charged with DUI. He was ticketed for the open container violation and violating the deputies right away. He posted $750 bond. The villages, America's friendliest hometown.
Now, I can kind of agree with getting a DUI on a golf cart or whatever, but a DUI on a horse?
Like, yeah, that's happened before.
I know, but that just seems like not
fair. Because, like, the horse knows it's not going to run into anything on purpose.
Horse isn't drunk?
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
So I never understood that.
So, the villages. Oh, and then there's a Cape Coral man. He was selling counterfeit fentanyl.
Oh.
Wait, what?
So this the non-killing guy. Type?
I don't know. So he's Richard Riley, 57, who looks old. He was arrested after his house was raided. They found all kinds of pill bottles and all kinds of stuff. But he's being charged with, I guess, counterfeit blue pressed fentanyl pills. I don't know what any of that means. I just think the counterfeit part. I don't know about drugs. I don't know what that even means. So he was taken to Lee County Jail. He got charged with trafficking in oxycodone, some other stuff, controlled substance stuff. But they said that the majority of the pill bottles that they found either had no label or labels with different names not associated with him or anybody else living in the house. And then they found all those unmarked pills there. I don't ghost pills. What do they call them? Ghost pills. But why would you do some? Like, well, I guess he was doing it at Lee County. I guess he was doing it to sell them. But, you know, I mean, I don't know that I would want counterfeit fentanyl. I wouldn't want fentanyl at all, but much less counterfeit fentanyl. A Florida man driving a Tesla thrown into the Gulf of Mexico in a crash near the Skyway Bridge. Oh, my gosh. St. Petersburg, 25-year-old man left the roadway, entered the shoulder, hit a drainage pond, flipped into the mangroves. He was not buckled up. He was thrown into the water. A passing boater picked him up. Took him, he went to the hospital. He had serious injuries. And I don't even know how that happens. How do you just...
No seatbelt.
Well, no, I mean, how do you run off the highway like that? Right into the... So anyway, he's in the hospital, but they haven't released any much more information about it. In a Miami-Dade County, a Florida man, an inmate was accused of sending threatening messages to a dude in southwest Miami-Dade telling him he wants his soul. He's going to kill him and he wants his soul. And he goes, I'm not going to spare you. He sounds like a monster, this guy. He's his last name's Castro, of course. But it was the Turner Guilford Knight Correctional Center. So they're trying to keep him under lock and key. Stick with us, third hour coming up.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Look, I think anybody would be flattered to be mentioned in that context. I certainly am. There's really not much more that I can or should say about that process other than that she's going to make that decision and she knows what she's doing.
Why does he keep getting asked this? His only answer should be like, gosh, no, because I just suck as like any type of like helpful person at all. And I can't even do my job, which I don't even know what it is. I work with transportation. What? I don't even know. I was on maternity leave because I purchased some babies and I was on maternity leave. That's exactly what it is. And if anyone takes issue with it, this is what you can do. You can send an email to KISS@myadoublesnakes.com, at which point I will print it out, put it at the gun range, fill it with holes, and then bring it back to my driveway where I will repeatedly run over it back up, run over it back up, run over it back up with my little Segway that I got from Mother's Day a few years ago. And that's what will happen. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. It's Friday. We're at the top of this third hour. I don't know why they keep asking him about this. It's poop booty juice. He's so flattered to be mentioned as a potential VP candidate. They have nobody else. Although I think it would probably be Andy Beshear, because you're not going to get the DeBorna stands to support a Jewish guy like Josh Shapiro on the ticket. That's Democrats have a Jewish problem. They have a problem with Jewish people. I mean, I'm just stating what we all know, right? Just like we all know that, you know, Biden probably cannot stop slobbering for, you know, that's why he has a million jump cuts in his videos. But Steve noted that Andy Beshear, he's governor of Texas, one of his last tweets, he said, no matter what the future holds, Kentucky is my home. That will never change because I'm one proud Kentuckian. Oh, dude, that does sound like he's ready. That sounds like he's, doesn't it?
It does.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be poop booty, dude. He's just like praying that someone gives him a position. What is he going to do? Remember, he was on maternity leave for 3 months. He purchased some babies. And then he was like, oh, I'm so tired. I got to take 3 months off work because I purchased these babies. And then he didn't answer a single email about the supply chain crisis. And it was a huge issue to the point where the New York Times even wrote about it, which is bad. And he's completely, I don't know what the guy does. I really don't know what he does. What does he do? What does he actually do? He doesn't even know what he does. What the hell does Pete Buttigieg do at Department of Transportation? Does anyone think he actually knows anything about a vehicle or roads or transportation?
Maybe buses.
You mean like Uber? No, they had 49 buses in South Bend, Kane. He couldn't fill the potholes, though. Mm. Just saying. I kind of think it's going to be Andy Beshear, if I'm being honest, the VP pick. Because it's... Washington Post is really mad about it, too. They're like, why almost everyone assumes Kamala Harris has to pick a white man as VP? Do you have anybody else but an old white man on the Democrat side? I mean, who else do you have, Democrats? You ran everybody else out. Who else do you have? They don't have anybody. So if you're trying to like get the intersectionality that you want, I can't even believe that we're doing this. Democrats don't go, this person has some accomplishments and they have a nice CV. It looks like they've worked hard here. Okay, we could do this. No, they're like, well, is he gay? Is this person of color? Is this person gay? How does this person have sex? Because that's very important when we're determining how to hire for a very important position.
we can't let you make decisions about the economy unless everyone knows how you have the sex. They got to check those intersectionality boxes. So Andy Beshear, he's in his mid-40s. He's, what, baby Gen X? He's older than me, but he's baby Gen X. So he's governor of Kentucky. He's pretty, he's considered, he's still far left according to a constitutionalist view of things, but he doesn't run around like a member of the squad. And that might be, but does he want to jump on that landmine? So this is the other thing. Whoever is the VP pick, you're having to jump on the landmine that is this campaign. Kamala Harris won't win this election for herself. The media will have to win this election for Kamala Harris. She will not win this election for herself. She has neither the ability nor the momentum. She does not have the influence. She does not have that relationship with voters. There is no way in hell she can win this election by herself. She has to have the media do it for her. And then if she has somebody like Andy Beshear, the only problem with having somebody, if you're Kamala Harris and you have Andy Beshear as your ticket, does it make you look even more unaccomplished? Because he was at least governor, but he's a big old Marxy. You're a Marxist if you're a Democrat at this point. Does it make her look less accomplished? And then does that make you think, oh, wow, I wouldn't want her in the White House? If you're a voter who apparently has had your head up your backside this entire time and you just now popped out to see what's up, I mean, because I would look at that and be like, wow, she's really that unaccomplished? No way. Right? Who do you think it's going to be, Kane?
Oh, I have no idea. The fact that we're about 100 days out, and we've seen the blitz over just the last couple of days for Kamala, and the quote-unquote, all these independent donors, which, by the way, we know that's not true. Mm-hmm. Act Blue is really not being straight with that. But yeah, I couldn't tell you, and I think they will pull some sort of a surprise here really soon.
This is what Andy Beshear had to say about J.D. Vance. He apparently had an argument with J.D. Vance. This is from WHS Channel 11, ABC in Kentucky. He pulled out a Diet Mountain Dew and issued an apology because he had a disagreement with J.D. Vance. And Beshear said that he wanted to set the record straight and apologize to Diet Mountain Dew. And he goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say negative things about you. And the reason he said that is because he was on CNN and he told CNN he was asked about some remarks or something that J.D. Vance said. And Beshear goes, quote, what was weird was him joking about racism and then talking about Diet Mountain Dew. Who drinks Diet Mountain Dew? In all seriousness, he ain't from here. He's not from Kentucky. And so he's trying to be a gatekeeper. They're going to have a hillbilly off is what it's going to be. I feel like Vance would win that one. You know, if I'm being honest about it, I mean, if you want to try to make this a class warfare thing and gatekeep, I really feel like, you know, that Vance is probably going to win that one. I mean, Andy Beshear is a Nepo baby. His dad, his family, I mean, he comes from a very well-to-do family, and his dad was also governor of Kentucky. So he's a Nepo baby. Andy Beshear's a Nepo baby. So you don't get to gatekeep over hillbilly, dude. You're a Nepo baby. And by that very definition, you're excluded from being the bouncer of hillbillies. Hillbillies don't like Nepo babies as bouncers. Just saying. You don't get to do that. So he's like this well-to-do guy who was born with a silver spoon up his backside. And he got mad at J.D. Vance because J.D. Vance had said at one point he drank Diet Mountain Dew. And he's like, Diet Mountain Dew, who drinks Diet Mountain Dew? Like, all of a sudden, Andy Beshear is going to pretend that he did not come from just oodles of money and act like that's a bad thing. I'm going to tell you what, Slick, we drink Diet Mountain Dew up in this house. You got issue with that? Again, I will give the same instructions to anybody that's got a problem with that like I would to anybody who got mad at me talking about Poop Booty Judge purchasing some babies, right? You can send it to kiss@myadoublesnakes.com, at which point I will print it out, take it to the range, blow it up, bring it back, the shreds of it, lay it out nice and neat in my driveway, get my mini Segway out that I received as a Mother's Day gift 6 years ago on Amazon. It's half the size of a regular Segway, but still does the job. And I will back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, roll right over it. And that's what will happen to it.
I have a question.
Yes, Steve.
Is snakes spelled out S-N-A-K-E-S or the $2 sign?
No, it's the two S's.
Got it.
Because I'm trying to be a nice person here and, you know, just, it's A, right? And then what sun starts with, an S, two of them.
Oh, okay.
Steve is actually taking it seriously.
No, I'll just play.
Does that mean two snakes? I love it. Diet Mountain Dew. What's wrong with Diet Mountain Dew? Who nominated Andy Beshear to be the bouncer for Hillbillies? I want to know. This guy wears a damn sweater vest. Have you seen this? Have you seen it? You've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying not to be a jerk, but I get really upset over this kind of stuff. Yeah, he comes from money. His dad was a governor. You know, his mom, she comes from money. I mean, that's not a bad thing either. It's only a bad thing when you try to act like, oh, wait a minute, this guy could be a threat, so I'm going to try to take the thing that he actually is known for and gatekeep it. You don't get to do that, right? You don't get to do that. So anyway, I just find it very interesting. And then his dad came from money too. So just,
Did you guys see the picture of the screenshot from the wine aisle in the grocery store that says Exciting Whites? And it was Kamala Harris's VP shortlist.
Oh my gosh. Was there a signature Andy Beshear bottle in there?
No, there's a Josh though.
Jeez. Exciting Whites. I mean, I can't with this. This is just, I don't know. But I kind of think it's going to be Andy Beshear. Because I just feel like Democrats, they have a problem with Jewish people and they're not going to allow for, Josh Shapiro. But J.B. Pritzker looks like the Penguin. And I really just feel like that's not the optic that you want to have, to go out and have an actual D.C. villain as your VP. You know, I mean, you wouldn't have an issue with money for sure, but still, I don't know. I mean, this whole thing. So if it's not Andy Beshear, who do you have? And if it's not Josh Shapiro, you have Poop Booty Juice. You have J.B. Pritzker, the Penguin from D.C. Who else was it?
Think Newsom, right? You don't think Newsom?
No.
No?
You're not going to have two Californians.
Yeah.
Not going to have two. Newsom, I think, is saving himself for 2028. And the fact that Pelosi already came out and backed Harris, she would not. I think that's, to me, and the fact that his name has completely dropped out of all this discussion, and you haven't seen him traveling anymore,
He's
saving himself for 2028. Because he was only going out there when he thought, I think, you know, that maybe I can still edge out.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, never underestimate Democrats' ability to just foobar everything up for themselves. They could, Newsom could walk in WWE style to the DNC convention with all the superdelegates, and they could just bide their time until second round of voting where all hell breaks loose. You don't know. So nobody really does. I'm just saying.
But yeah, it makes sense because he needs some years to repair his reputation if he's going to run in 2028.
Yeah. So he's got, you know, and he will bide that time. He will. So, I mean, who else do they got? They don't have anybody else. Yeah. They have nobody else. You could not have like a Gretchen Whitmer or an Amy Klobuchar because you cannot have two unlikable women on a ticket. People have a problem with just one unlikable woman. Just saying.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, so much for that stereotype of nice Canadians. Apparently in Toronto, residents have been asked to stop throwing poo on workers. The tenants of an apartment building in Toronto said that they were issued a letter from management because human waste was allegedly thrown from the balconies to workers below. And it ended up on Reddit's Toronto board. I tried to make two words into one. The letter was shared and it said, no power, throw a poo, that'll help. They said that the people in the apartment building at St. Jamestown neighborhood received the letter. They were without power. They can't even get their elevator. They said people, I don't know why, it was people who were trying to fix the situation. And I don't know why they ended up having poo. I don't know, it's just Canadians? I don't know. I thought they were nice though. Yeah. I guess they're not. This neighbor, oh boy, jeez. Levittown neighbor exposed himself to a doorbell camera. Jeez.
40-year-old Charles George Swenson is charged with indecent exposure, harassment, disorderly conduct. He, on July 21st, he was filmed, of course, the road's called Idlewild, on Idlewild Road. He walked up to the door, spit on the neighbor's porch, walked away by pulling down his britches, stood on the masonry wall between the two properties, pulled out his buttocks, and then turned around to expose his genitals to the camera, said police. And then the neighbors said they couldn't go outside because Swenson was hanging around in the front yard for the rest of the day harassing him. He's now being held on 10% of $60,000 bail. He's got a hearing on August 7th. Wow. Like, what happened with those neighbors is what I would like to know that results in this. A couple's Tesla was damaged by fish that fell from the sky. They said it's a message from the Lord. Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, they really did say that. A fish hit a couple's parked Tesla. It fell from the sky, hit it. And then the car owners said that it just was did they eat the fish, though? They said it caused damage to their car. And there's blood all over the windshield. It crashed into the windshield. It turns out, I mean, obviously it was a bird that had its... That was that bird's dinner, and it dropped it. That's a bummer. That bird's probably hungry now. They said they had an eagle's nest in their backyard, so they think it was probably the eagle, but now they have to get it. And it did some damage. That was kind of crazy. It did some damage to their car. Really, a fish can hurt your car that much?
Well, I guess if it's a big one and it's fallen from 100 and something feet.
Boneless chicken wings can have bones, says the Ohio Supreme Court. It's a tendy fight. They said that Republicans on Ohio Supreme Court ruled that bones are a natural part of a chicken, so a consumer should be on guard for them, even in boneless wings. So somebody sued because they wanted boneless wings, and they didn't get boneless wings. They had bones in the wings, and the court was like, you're stupid. There's bones in chicken. Stop it. So that's that court case. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
What's up, AMT? How y'all doing? Yes, yes. I can hear a little alcohol in the air. I'm going to just... Feels like eighth period on the last day of school in here. It's just...
What?
Working on that in your union contract so you don't got to sneak it out of your desk.
So that's Brandon Johnson. He's the Chicago mayor. He's at a teacher's thing? An education event. And is he talking about getting drunk in the classroom? Like, what, the teachers? I don't know, man. That's weird. Why? He can smell alcohol in the air. Goodness. Good heavens. Yeah, we're at the bottom of this third hour here on Friday. Yeah, he was there at the AFT convention, American Federation of Teachers. Oh, I can hear a little alcohol in the air. Well, that would explain.
That's Randy Weingarten's job.
Yeah, it's Randy Weingarten. Well, she always does seem like drunk and nuts. So, you know, that's par for the course for her. I don't know. I can't, man. I can't. I just, also, Kane just, is this a real thing? The white dudes for Harris? Yeah.
No, that's... Literally a real thing?
No, it's not.
I promise you.
I don't want to advertise it. So apparently there's like, let's do our part to help elect Kamala Harris. White dudes for Harris. Exciting whites. And it's just a bunch of like Chardonnays, as Steve was saying at the store. I read this thing too. Check this out. This is, let me pull this up. So apparently the far left is trying to pressure Harris to not choose Josh Shapiro as her running mate. Because, and some people, so the left is kind of fighting. Right now, it's sort of quiet, but it's starting to get loud. They're sort of fighting back channel because some wanted Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania governor, to be the VP. And, well, there's a lot on the left that have a problem with Jewish people, a lot of people that have a problem with Jewish people. And they said they don't like his unapologetic support for Israel. And they didn't like his criticisms of the anti-Israel student protesters, rioters, really. And... they don't like him because of that, because he's Jewish. They just need to be honest about it, and that's why they don't like him. So there's been a huge online campaign called No Genocide Josh to try to, I know, because it's genocide to defend yourself against people, but not genocide to try to eradicate scores of people specifically based on their faith, whatever.
So the left is fighting with itself. I don't think that Democrats will, because that's the Democrat Party has changed, as we've said. They have changed. They're brand new. They're all about pro-Hamas and Dearbornistan and all of that, and they are not going to sit here and play around with this. So, yeah, they want, and these are the people who want ceasefire in Gaza, and they think it's all Israel's fault that Hamas attacked Israel. So, I don't know. They have a problem. Democrats have a problem with Democrats. They have a problem. No, and if the media were, you know, legitimate, they would be writing about this. They would be covering this problem and discussing the issue that is really, I think, driving a lot of the problems that they have in the Democrat Party. They're not going to be able to have a big tent, because the identity politics is actually going to go against them at some point. They can't have a big tent. Democrats are killing their ability to have a big tent because they've played identity politics for so long. I mean, you can't sit here and try to make appeals to Jewish people and try to make appeals to Dearbornistan and try to make appeals here and there when everyone else has these agendas that are competing with another group's agendas. You can't be box checkers like this. Yeah, this is why you got to get behind policy and not these different identities. And now they're having to pay for it. They're having to pay for it right now. So I don't know. I mean, but again, don't underestimate the media. I saw this thing, the net favorability rating. This was a YouGov Ipsos in a Marist survey. And it shows Harris having a little bit of a bump over Trump. And I think that's partially because of the media water carrying, and partially because, again, the left is just relieved, completely relieved that, you know, they can get past Biden now. Don't know. So that's this is one of the things that we're looking at. Now, where it concerns the Secret Service, we've been following this story, too, all week. Via Catherine Herridge, there was a whistleblower who said that the night before the rally, U.S. Secret Service repeatedly denied offers from local law enforcement to use drone technology to secure the rally. This is in a letter that was released by Senator Josh Hawley. They said that there were repeated offers that were denied, and the offers were from a local law enforcement officer who wanted to use drone technology to secure the rally. And they could use it to secure the site, make it available to the United States Secret Service. Secret Service says no. And then the whistleblower further alleges that after the shooting took place, per this letter, the United States Secret Service then changed course and asked the local partner to deploy the drone technology to surveil the site in the aftermath of the attack. Why would you say no when it was first offered? Are we going to get any answer to that question? I feel like that's a very important question. Why was it denied? Now, a few other things. We got some odds and ends here. I want to make sure that we get to Kane, our hometown of St. Louis. The paper there, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a far left paper, full disclosure, I used to be a columnist there. They have backed Cori Bush's challenger. The editorial board has endorsed the challenger to Cori Bush for Missouri's first congressional district. That is pretty wild. It's Wesley Bell. He is the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney. And I mean, I don't doubt that he's, you know, on the left, but holy wow. Because she was, I mean, she was one of those individuals that kind of took over the activism there in St. Louis in the wake of Ferguson and made it about herself. So Wesley Bell is in the job. He's the county. He's a prosecuting attorney for St. Louis County. He holds the job that Bob McCullough held. Now, if you remember, Bob McCullough was the prosecutor there in the wake of the Michael Brown shooting. And he was the one Bob McCullough was a far left Democrat. That's why I was rolling my eyes. Everyone's saying, oh, well, that prosecutor, he's giving Mike Brown's, he's giving that the cops in the situation. He's letting them off the hook. This guy was such a far, Bob McCullough was such a far left prosecutor. To go even further back, when Barack Obama was still a senator from Illinois running for president, Bob McCullough, along with another prosecutor and a Democrat a sheriff, they got together and formed what was affectionately called the Obama Truth Squad. And they said that they were going to examine and look for potential litigation, all statements that were said about Barack Obama, so, and to see if they were true or not. And it was a I think I was one of the first people to break the story nationally. And there was no guarantees that they weren't going to go after people for just basic free speech. So that was interesting. So he's now, so Wesley Bell is in, he is in that position. And he's, you know, he's a lefty, but he sounds like a reasonable lefty. And I'm not saying that I think he's reasonable. I'm saying to a lot of the, again, where elections decided, they're determined in the margins. To those people, he seems way more reasonable than Cori Bush, who sounds like a nut. She sounds like a nut. She doesn't do anything. I don't know what she does beyond run her mouth for the cameras. Does she sponsor anything? Does she actually try to push stuff through Congress? Because I don't see that. Now, Bell, his father was a police officer, so that's kind of interesting. So he has a very interesting background, and I'm sure obviously that shapes his perspective there. Bell, instead of just immediately going to try to go to the cameras and go to seek national fame, he went and ran and became, got himself elected to Ferguson City Council. And then he went for county prosecutor, which I thought was very interesting. And he wanted to look at special prosecutors and homicides by police and all this other stuff. So it's interesting how they both came out of that movement in Ferguson. But he had a much more, and I'm not saying I agree with him on positions, but he had a much more genuine path than she did. Does that make sense? And like he went and got on city council and he started like working in the community. And then he wanted to go. He was like, this is where this is happening at prosecutor. I'm going to go for county prosecutor. He takes Bob McCullough's position. That's very interesting. Now, he is opposed to the death penalty, which I disagree with. There's some controversial stuff that he's done as part of his record. The fact that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I thought, has endorsed him over Cori Bush, though, was interesting because they're Marxist. They're not even far left. They're straight up Marxist. And they fall way more in line with somebody like Bush over Bell. But I think she and some of these others in the party, especially with these independents and moderates, they're driving people away. He stands a really good chance of flipping her out of that seat. Very interesting. So the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has endorsed Cori Bush's challenger, Wesley Bell. That's fascinating to me. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. So we'll see how that goes. And I do think that his background, having been raised by a father who was a police officer, is interesting. And I'm curious to see how that shapes his opinion. He seems, that's where, on one of those issues like defund the police, he just seems like way more reasonable than somebody like her. I mean, it's just interesting. So a few other things. I had a culture story that I don't know if we're going to have time to get into. I don't follow this chick, but this caught my eye. This woman, she was Miss Universe at one point. Her name is Olivia Culpo, and she married San Francisco 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey. And she had this designer wedding dress by Dolce & Gabbana. It was a very conservative dress. It was very long. It was long sleeve. It showed nothing. And she said in this interview with Vogue, she said that she, quote, didn't want it to exude sex in any way, shape, or form, end quote. And she was talking about the seriousness of the ceremony, which was about a covenant. That's what she was saying. Well, all of these like influencers and pick me chicks all over social media blew this up and they were going at her, including some chick. I don't even know who this one chick is. She's a Los Angeles based stylist. She questioned Culpo's choice of a covered up dress and said, quote, the way that she was talking about this went beyond just wanting something modest for herself and pushing this idea of what she thinks all brides should look like, which sounds stupid because it's not exactly, that's not at all what she did. And so Christian McCaffrey was defending his wife. And he goes, I hope you can find joy and peace in the world the way my beautiful wife does. Oh my gosh, that was just, he just cut these bees down. But this chick, this stylist, said that it was she said she went after her, said the dress was an absence of personality, and all the other beep, 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 all the other broads on wannabe influencers jumped on it as well. Why? Because she didn't look like a tart. It didn't look trashy. She wasn't trying to go for this trashy influencer thing. And she was talking about the ceremony as like a religious ceremony, like as a covenant. She was taking her marriage vows seriously. And for some reason, these chicks who were probably single got very upset with her about that. And they were trashing her. And it was what she wanted to do. And her now husband, McCaffrey, said it was an evil thing to post. And then the stylist, her name's Kennedy Bingham or whatever. Of course, she's got two last names. She went after Dolce & Gabbana because Dolce & Gabbana oppose, they do not have a leftist view of same-sex marriage. It's very interesting because they're gay dudes, but they run this fashion label and they're very conservative. It's really weird, but it's one of the reasons why a lot of people were protesting Dolce & Gabbana back in the day, and why I think it's hysterical that Jill Biden horrifically wears their clothing, and well, their clothing wears her because she does not have the wherewithal to wear the clothing. So I think it was, she went after them as well. And like, as a way to try to dredge that back up. And it's like, why can't she just wear her dress and celebrate her choice as wanting to dress how she sees this ceremony and show the respect that she wants to show for it without all these other broads trying to make her day and her dress choice about them? This is one of the things I hate about social media, because it's almost like people feel like in order to get ahead, they got to make everything about them. Someone else's choice isn't your choice. It's not about your life. Leave the girl alone. I thought she looked fabulous. I thought it was one of the most beautiful dresses I've seen in a wedding in the past 20 years, besides my own. It was beautiful. It was a very pretty dress. It was, you know, long sleeved, and it had a nice detailing up at the top. And I mean, it was, you know, it was like perfect Dolce & Gabbana. It looked great. And all these chicks are mad because she didn't look like a tart. That says more about them than it does Olivia Culpo and Christian McCaffrey.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. We send stuff out to you regularly all throughout the week, and you get the prep in the morning, the prep email through the week. So all kinds of good stuff there. So I saw, why are they trying to act like Trump didn't get, I saw this even over at Daily Mail, nothing to see ear, where Trump appeared without his bandage. And you can clearly see in the photo where he's got a chunk of his ear that's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it. Lorraine says she found a photo from the New York Post, and you can easily zoom in and you can see that he's literally missing a chunk out of that helix in his ear. So that's not like a glass. He didn't get cut by glass. Like something took off his part of his ear. That's so, why are people running with us? This is so dumb. To act like it was, I can't even. All right, today's stupidity came. What
oh,
do we got?
Boy,
sorry.
I don't think we have time to play.
I went too long.
This
I'm
is,
sorry.
It was the response from KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, when she was asked about Kamala Harris ever being appointed border czar. Of course, they're denying it, and
there's receipts.
Unlimited amount of proof that she
tons
was.
Of receipts.
Anyway.
All right, folks, that does it for us this evening, or this week, actually. I hope you have a great weekend, safe weekend, and I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday.